Today we're continuing our sermon series on Habakkuk, and last week we talked about the first part of chapter 1, and today I want to move just a little bit further in that, and I'm very excited about where this goes, because Habakkuk, he complains a lot. He complains a lot, and so I love this book, because then, you know, it just says that, you know, complaining is just as ancient as the times of biblical times. And so whenever we're around it, whenever we complain or we see other people complain, you can say, oh, that's about, like, I don't know, probably 5,000-6,000 years old or more or less or however you view it. So anyways, we talked about the first part of the verse and how Habakkuk complains to God. Well, it's funny because in this scripture, God answers, but he's still complaining that God's not answering him. And so I'm really excited to show you what it's. I find, does anybody, is it just me, or do you find the Old Testament funny sometimes? Some of you are like, what are you talking about? Well, I'm going to show you, because in my Bible, I have some highlights, and then I have some arrows here that point back and forth to different things, where God will say something, or the prophet will say something, and then I look at it, and I'm like, yeah, but it's right over here. Like, and so I take an arrow and I put it over there and I'm like, this connects with that. And so I find it very exciting. But I want to read this first part to you, and I'm going to skip because there's a lot. Chapter 1, verse 5 to chapter 2, verse 1. But I'm going to do the first, I'm going to do 5 to 6. I'm going to end at the end of 6. I'm going to jump to 17. And then in through all that, I'm going to come back and we're going to talk about that whole section. So it's pretty fun. Let me read it for you. It says, look, this is God's answer to Habakkuk. So last week he complained. He's like, how long, Lord, must I call for help? But you don't listen. We cry out to you. Violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? All these things. This is God's answer. Okay? And it goes like this. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. This is God telling the prophet, guess what? I'm going to do something incredible. You won't believe it even if I told you. And he's like, okay. I'm raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who swept across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They're going and stealing stuff. I'm going to raise them up. God's answer to his prophet. I'm going to raise them up. And he says, I'm just double checking what I got there. Yeah. And then in 17 he jumps and he says, is he then, so when we're talking about is he then, at the end of this in chapter 17, he's going back, he's talking about the wicked, and how the wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks and catches them in their nets and does all that. And he says, in that last verse, is he then, the wicked, to keep on emptying his nets and mercilessly killing nations forever? This is God's answer. Why do I have to look at injustice? Well, I'm going to do something that's going to blow your mind. I'm going to send the Babylonians in to rule you and crush you. What? God, that's not an answer. I don't like that answer. But he says it. It's interesting to me. And then if you look in verses 12 to 14, he says, O Lord, are you not from everything? My God, my Holy One, he will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. So Habakkuk's going, yeah, you know what? I'm not happy with what's going on here. And he says, you've appointed these people. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? And then he says in this next part of the verse, he says, why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? So if you see that, that's verse 13 at the very end. And he says, why are you silent? Well, if you go back to verse 5, and verse 5 comes before verse 14 here, or 13, he says, God says, he says, why, or the prophet says, why aren't you answering? And God goes, well, here's the deal. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send the Babylonians. Well, why is the prophet saying down here, why are you silent still? But I answered you. I told you what was going to happen. How many times in your life have you been given an answer and you don't like it? I appreciate your honesty. How many times? It happens all the time. Well, I don't like that answer, so I'm going to try again. We do it at work. We do it in our relationships. We do it in our marriages, in all our relationships. I'm sorry, I'm jumping. You're probably not going to be able to follow this. But we don't like the answer. And so the prophet here is saying to God, look, man, you're silent, and then you tell me that you're going to send this powerful nation to come and take us over. A horrible nation who's worse than all of us. And we're supposed to be okay with this? And I know that in our own personal lives, we can be there. I know that in times of struggle in my life, I know that from speaking with some of you, that there are times in our lives where we've asked God for an answer and he didn't give it to us. We said, or he did give us an answer and we're like, do you have another one? Do you have another answer? Because I would like a different one. That one doesn't work for me. In our society, we've kind of come along to the point where we believe that if we don't like something, then it's wrong, or we deserve something better. We can talk about all sorts of stuff. We can talk about illness. We can talk about the death of a loved one. We can talk about so many different things in our lives, whether we got that promotion or not. Somebody else beat us out and they're not as good. We're way better. Why did they get that? God, you don't listen to me. And in your life, have you ever had the experience where you worked really hard for something and you felt that that's what God wanted you to do? And in the end, what happened? It didn't happen. And you go, then God, why did you ask me to do this? And he's like, because. That's not a very good answer, is it? One of the worst answers you can give your children when you're raising them, when they ask you something, why do I have to do this? And you go, because I said so. That's one of the worst answers you can give. Yet God is the most incredible father in the entire universe. And he says, because. Just wait it out. I got a bigger plan. And how many times in your own life have you looked back when you were going through a struggle and God's told you to do this thing or whatever it was, it didn't happen, and now fast forward 10 years, and you go, that's why I wasn't supposed to get that promotion. That's why this happened. You know, this happens on a regular basis, God doing things in your lives. I believe God is with us at all times. I believe he's interacting in our everyday lives. And I believe that when I'm on the road driving, that other people don't understand, I'm on a mission from God. So they need to move and get out of my way. They don't understand this, though. And as I'm driving and in a rush, there's been many times where I'm stuck and I can't go anywhere and I'm losing my mind because I don't like being late, or there's a time limit on this particular event that I have to do. And you're like, well, you should have got up earlier. I did. I got up really early, but it didn't work because like there's traffic or whatever. And I'm like, God, if you want me to be, you need to understand, this is your problem. Like, I need to get there. You know I need to get there. This is very important to you, to me, to everyone. Of course, we always think more highly of our own situations. And then if I move ahead a little bit further, there was an accident. How many of you experienced that? I've experienced on long trips that I'm impatient and I'm driving, and then I get slowed down, and then an accident happens. And if I was 2 minutes ahead, I would have been in that accident. It's happened. I believe that God works in so many different ways. And that can happen in our own lives. That can happen when we're thinking about situations that we believe God wants us to do, or we just believe it's the right thing. We just have this mindset that this is right, and so God must be blessing it. And I know that the prophet here believed everything he said to God. He was a very, very devout religious person. He loved God, and he couldn't understand why God could allow or stay silent, but could allow this other nation to come in and punish them and punish others. Why would you do that? When there's a nation here that loves you, yeah, we're a little messed up, but they love you more than the Babylonians. Oh, those Babylonians. There's times in our lives where we're the same as this prophet. And we think we know better. We think we know better. Why? Because we're spiritual. Because we're Christians. Because we're the chosen ones. And we don't realize that God is working in other people's lives out there as well. Not just in ours. We can become very self-centered. We can become very elitist because we're Christians or because we believe in God, that he's gonna listen to us because we're devout. We come to church every Sunday. Well, okay, if I was counting, I don't know, attendance-wise, I don't know if all you're here every Sunday. So there's a little wiggle room there. He gets a little grace. We read our Bibles. We help people. We give money to help people. We're good people. Why are these bad things happening? And God is silent. God is silence. Let's just stop here for a minute. Awkward. Who loves silence? Now, I get it. If you're a young mom, you're like, I would love some silence. But when you're in it, when you're in the struggle, you want you don't want to not hear God. You want direction. You need guidance. If you look in Matthew, you'll see, we're going to jump ahead a little bit to Matthew, and you'll see that in Matthew chapter 11, verse 3, I don't know if you've remember this verse, but John the Baptist is in prison, okay? And it's in chapter 11, verse 3, and so it says this, after Jesus had finished instructing the 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him this. And I love this because a lot of times we've missed this part in Matthew. We've missed this part from John the Baptist. He says this, asked Jesus this, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Because this isn't working. I'm in prison. You're in big trouble coming up here. I don't know if you know this, Jesus, but in the next few chapters, you're in huge trouble. There's going to be some bad stuff happening. And John says, are you the one, or did we mess this up? Should we expect something else? Because this ain't working. Now remember, these are Israelites. They're from Judaism. They know what the Messiah is to be. He's to be a king. He's to rule. He's to take over this, this kingdom, the Roman Empire. He's to take it all over. And then they will be, you know, finally in charge. They will be back on top. The Messiah has come. Military might. And he's bringing all of God's angels. And that's why the Jewish people didn't get it. Because he wasn't a military leader. He was the opposite. He was bringing love. He was bringing grace. He was bringing forgiveness. And John is in jail after knowing that Jesus is the Messiah. Several times he said it. Then in prison, in his struggle, in his time, he goes, is there something else happening here? Because I might have missed the memo. Just see the interesting. Now let's go back. Let's go back to the prophet here in Habakkuk. He says, God, why haven't you answered me? Why are you not listening? Why are you staying silent? And we point back, and he already answered him. He just didn't like the answer. When you are dealing with your spouse, do you have expectations of them? And if you do have expectations of them, do they know what those expectations are? How many times when you were first in a relationship or first married or whatever, maybe in a friendship, have you ever had a time when someone was mad at you and you didn't know why? I get it a bit. So only a few people? Okay. Well, please tell me your secret. Because there have been times when people, believe it or not, people have been mad at me and I don't know why. I'm more shocked that they're mad at me, because how could you? Come on now. But they're mad and I don't know why. Or you've been in a relationship and they're mad at you and you don't know why. If your wife ever says, if you come in and say, hey, how you doing? And they go, fine. Pardon me? Now, Michelle and I have had this discussion. She believes the word fine is an appropriate word if everything's just fine. But I've banished that from the vocab. Because in my world, fine is not good. When you say I'm fine, I'm concerned. Why are you just fine? Shouldn't you be great? Shouldn't things be... Now, you're either great, good, awesome, or not so good, I'm okay. But fine? I don't like fine. In fact, the staff know I despise fine. They've said, I'm like, how are things going? Oh, fine. I'm like, what happened? What's wrong? What's going on? What do you need? It's just a reaction to that. I don't like fine. Now they know that. They didn't before, but now they do know. So that expectation of them not saying fine really helps. They know now, everything's good, we're all happy. But in relationships, we don't always tell each other things. We don't always tell them what we like, what we don't like, what we're expecting. A very simple thing is like, hey, you know, we expect certain things. So Michelle expects me to help clean up. Okay, hey, yeah, that's right. Get them. She expects me to help clean up after dinner, after any event, all that kind of stuff. Now, if she never told me that, now I would do it anyways, you know, come on now. But if I didn't know that and I was the type of person that was just like, oh, everything's great, okay. And then we had a dinner and I go sit down on the couch and I start flicking through the TV and she's cleaning up, getting more angry and more angry. And then I say, hey, how's everything going over there? And she goes, fine. I know personally that's not fine, but if you're in that relationship where they haven't told you the expectations of helping, there's a problem. And so you hold it. What comes out of that? What comes out of not telling someone expectations? Well, what comes out of that is bitterness, anger, resentment, all sorts of things in your relationship. And so spouses are to be very clear with what they expect. In relationships, clear what we expect, what's okay, what's not okay. And it doesn't mean you're controlling, it doesn't mean, but we have expectations. And if we don't communicate them, there's a problem. Now, the prophet in this verse is explaining his expectations to God, but God doesn't care about his expectations. Now, can you imagine if I knew the expectations of my wife and I'm sitting down at the table or sitting down on the couch while I'm watching TV and she's mad and I'm going, you know, honey, there's a bigger plan here. You're just going to have to be okay with it for now that I'm not helping, and it'll all work out in the end. So you don't worry yourself. I got this. Well, I wouldn't be standing here. But there's expectations. And the prophet has expectations that God will do this. They're misplaced. They're misplaced because they're only looking at the now. They're only looking at the right now. They're not looking at the bigger picture. There's a bigger issue here, and God wants to work Israel through this. And so he's saying, I'm going to bring these other people along. And sometimes I think God did that because he's going, you know what? You thought you had it bad? Well, guess what? Here's something real bad. And I'm going to let these people take over. And then you'll be calling out, wishing. Now, I don't know if that was his total plan. That's what I would have done if I was God. But, you know, he's got a plan. In your life, God has a plan. Do not think that there is not a plan. It doesn't matter how old, it doesn't matter how young, God is going to do something in your life. Whatever that is, I don't know, but God does. And if you're faithful, and you know what, even in the times, if you're not faithful, he's going to use you. He's going to work through your life. We look at things too much as a give and take, whereas God looks at a bigger picture. God looks at us and says, you know what? I know you're kind of messing things up right now, but I got plans for you. I got plans for you. And we look at it and go, I messed up. So guess what? He doesn't want to do anything with me. He doesn't want me anymore because I messed up. That's the wrong way to view how God looks at you. God looks at you as I'm going to do so much with you and for you. But what that is, you got to figure that out. And you got to be ready when God wants you to. And that's why we delve into the Word. That's why we communicate with him on a regular basis. And I could beat this down constantly all the time saying, read your Bible and pray. It sounds like such a Christian thing to say, such a pastoral thing to say. You should read your Bible and pray. God will speak to you and everything will be better. No, everything won't be better. Sorry to tell you, it won't be better, but it'll be God's plan. It'll be God's plan. And in the end, it will be better. But we want it now. So I want to encourage you today. And we're going to keep walking through this book because it's got a lot of this going on. I want to encourage you today to surrender your lives in the reality that God declares this in Isaiah 55, verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And my response to that is yes, your ways are higher. Your ways are better. Your thoughts are better. And my question is to you, when you read that, okay, the heavens are higher, that's a difficult thing to deal with. I can't get there. I don't know how to get to the heavens, but I know they're high. I've been in a plane. We've seen pictures in space. So it's high. But your thoughts, you know where we can find his thoughts? Right here. I can find out how he thinks, how God thinks. And when things are going on in my life, I'll know that he's got things under control. Have you ever heard that the people that have been Christians for a long time, they're just like, I stand on a solid rock of Jesus. And they just say this, and their faith is strong. And you're like, wow, I really hope I can get there one day because of that state. The stuff is going on. People are dying in their lives. And there's all sorts of havoc, and they're like, I stand on his word. That's what we're talking about. His word is his word, but his word is also the flesh of Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven that's higher than we can imagine and gave us something incredible. So as you move forward this week, I want you to look at your life. I want you to look at how you view God and how you process what's going on in your life. I want you to think about, how am I sabotaging myself with my relationship with God. Yes, there are expectations we have of God. Guess what? Throw them out. Get new ones, because I'm going to tell you right now, his expectations are completely different than what we thought they were. So from this point forward, be an open vessel. Be an open book to him. Let him write your story instead of you forcing it the way you want it. Let him guide you. And I promise you, he will. And there will be times when you're standing there like the prophet saying, why aren't you listening to me? Why are you letting these things happen? And if you actually step back and look at a bigger picture, you'll see him working in your life every day. But when we get tunnel vision, we lose it. So this week, step back, take a big picture look, and ask God to guide you. And ask him to show you what he's doing. He might not, he might. He might give you little tidbits here and there. He knows you more than anyone does. And he'll be able to speak to you in a way that only he can speak to you, the way you need to be spoken to. Ask him, and he will.